This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor at World Sweeper and executive director of the World Sweeping Association. For our featured contractor for February 2015, I have on the phone with me Richard Hamilton of Best Parking Lot Cleaning in Puyallup, Washington. He is co-owner of Best Parking Lot Cleaning with his sister, Rebecca Craig. They were chosen for this month's feature because of a situation that occurred with one of their employees who received a Citizens Award for how helpful they were in a motorcycle accident situation. We'll cover that a little bit more and link to it as we go along. But anyway, welcome, Richard. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks, Ranger.
If you would, talk to me about how you and Rebecca got into the parking lot sweeping business. I would naturally assume that you grew up in it with your parents, but that may not be the case. How did that work?
That's a good assumption. Our parents started this in 1977 in Bonnie Lake, and then they passed away in 1990. And then the siblings took over, and Rebecca and I bought out two of our siblings. We've been running it for probably the better part of the last 15 years.
It's a pretty good-sized operation these days. You talk about on your website having the largest combined fleet of street sweepers, vacuum sweepers, deductor trucks, snow plowing, and de-icing rigs in the state, which is a pretty good claim to fame. I know there are some other fairly good-sized operations, but that's a very broad-based set of services that you provide. All of that is anchored by, certainly, your name of parking lot cleaning.
Yeah, it can be kind of deceiving a little bit, the name. A lot of our work is construction work. We work on freeway projects, sweep municipalities, do things of that nature.
What do you think your percentage of work that you do that's sweeping these days compared to the rest of it?
Still quite a bit, probably 70% for sweeping, whether it's construction work or nighttime retail-type work.
You talk about the way you operate your business in some interesting ways. One of the things I liked, your drivers are commercially licensed. I don't know what that means. If that means, the ones that need a CDL, of course, have a CDL. But I like that they're CPR certified. That's a real good one to have. And, Chris Hardy, your operator that was on a construction job on I-405, saw a state patrol officer across the freeway. She exited her vehicle and then immediately was lost to sight. It was dark. He felt that with just work lights, he felt that obviously something had gone wrong with her, and had enough safety training and so forth that he knew to put on his safety gear and dash over there and help save the life of a motorcyclist that had his leg cut off and got a Citizens Award for it. But that's really speaks to the training and quality of the safety training and more that you have imparted into your employees, and that was the reason that I chose you for this interview. Why have you chosen to put that much emphasis on safety?
You know, you might go through that CPR class 20 times and never have to use it, but the odds are at least once in your lifetime you're going to have to take and deal with a situation like that. Our thoughts are it'd be terrible if you didn't know how to react. Fortunately, Chris, he's quick on his feet and knew how to help out in a situation like that.
He clearly did a good job given the circumstances, and both he and the state patrol officer were given a Citizens Award. That's a great thing for your organization, but certainly who it was best for was the motorcyclist that was able to stay alive, yet his leg was amputated, but that's a far cry from dying, which probably would have happened.
Well, and also a good chance are that if something terrible happens to me, I'm probably going to have one of those guys standing next to me. And
that's right.
I would hope they would know how to handle it for me, too, you know.
Yeah. I saw some information on the site that I wanted to talk to you about a little bit. One was Run It or Die Tacoma. The other one was that you were a sponsor at Rampage at RAC. Let's talk about Run or Die Tacoma. That is one of those events, for those listening, where they throw, it appeared to be, where they throw powdered dye at people as they run or that sort of thing. It's an enormous cleanup. What was your experience there in handling that?
It's actually a lot of fun, but it can be a mess. If you take and do it on a dry day, it's pretty easy to maintain. If it starts raining like crazy, that cornstarch turns into like a slime, and it goes all over the place, and you got to get it before it gets into the catch basins. We like doing those. We've done probably about a dozen of them, and they're fun.
Have you ever had any trouble getting paid with them? I know that there was one organization that we put out a notice one time that they weren't paying for the sweeping. Has that ever been a problem?
unfortunately, there's about a half a dozen companies that run around and do that, and there's one in particular that kind of put a bad name on them. They kind of roll into your town. You trust these people because it's a large organization. I mean, there's thousands of people going to it. They got advertisement all over the place. Yeah, we did get burned one time. That doesn't say anything bad about the other ones. You just have to do certain things. You have to get paid in advance. The difference ends up being less. You credit them back.
That makes sense. Have you found that good things come to your company because you sponsor things like Rampage at RAC? Tell me how that process would work. You decided to get involved with an organization. They call you a sponsor. That must mean that it wasn't just service for hire. You were doing other things. It was just a nonprofit.
We have done it nonprofit, but when it's a large-scale thing and you got a half a dozen trucks out there for 6 hours, we bill people.
Well, yes, and what I meant by it being a nonprofit, it means that it's an organization, you know, worth not just billing at your commercial rate, but giving this or that or the other thing to increase the profile of your company.
I think the exposure helps. If you got thousands of people running around and those are all community-based things, it's good to have your name out in kind of a positive light like that.
One of the things I noticed is that you have all of your equipment highly logoed. Your visibility throughout the area has to be enormous, especially with the distance that you cover. And Washington State is not nearly as populated density-wise as a lot of the Northeast, say. So that gives you a lot of visibility as well. Talk about your commitment there. I know there are some contractors, unfortunately, still out there that don't want to put their name on their equipment for fear somebody will see them doing something wrong, which is entirely the wrong way to approach things as far as I'm concerned.
Kind of went with the thought of, can you read the name off the side of the truck if you're going 60 miles per hour southbound and the truck's going 60 miles per hour northbound, and I've passed them enough, you can still read the name and get the phone number. In regards to doing things right, yeah, you don't want a bad name. You want people to be able to call you. Sometimes bad news is good news. It lets you be aware if something's going on. You can't be out at every job site. So if you have an employee doing something wrong, I'd like to know about it.
You bet. Sooner rather than later. To me, having logoed equipment really speaks to what the commitment of the ownership is to do things right.
Yeah.
I see a variety of equipment. Looks like you may key in on Timco and Elgin. How do you decide what sweepers to get?
Purchase price, if you go out and buy a brand new truck, they're all pretty much the same. A lot of the decision that we make is maintenance cost. If you deal with a company that has a lot of proprietary parts on it, or they own the design rights, and the only way you can get the parts are through the dealer, you kind of steer away from it a little bit. That's most of our decision. I think Elgin's probably about the most expensive truck to run. They work really well when they're all tuned up, but a lot of the stuff you have to buy from the dealer. Recently, we kind of steered away from them. Big fan of Timco's and Schwartz when it comes to sweeping.
You say you prefer their support?
Yeah, Timco and Schwartz are the direction we're moving in, especially Schwartz.
Mm-hmm.
They perform well, reliable. You can deal with the dealer locally.
I think that's one of the key elements that I would encourage everybody out there listening. When you're getting equipment that's not being sold direct, Elgin and Timco both go, you know, with dealer networks, is to go out there and talk to your dealers and see what's going on with them. One of the key elements to me is, can you talk to your dealer for that piece of equipment, and will they put you ahead of the line when it comes time to repair things? Because a lot of times municipalities don't really care how quick they get their equipment, and the contractor, that's your lifeblood. That can be really critical, is what kind of support you get from your dealers.
A couple years ago, we took and bought a brand new Timco 600 and a brand new Elgin Crosswind. We kind of tracked the two on operating cost and reliability, overall performance. That was a good way to gauge what direction we're going to go in. That helped us a lot in making decisions. Because sometimes, you know, the purchase price of a vehicle over a five-year period is cheap compared to the maintenance, you know.
Absolutely. And how do you track that sort of thing? Manually, or do you have any kind of maintenance software or GPS? Do you run GPS on your equipment?
Yeah, we run GPS on all of our equipment. That's been really helpful, especially when it comes to city cleanings. It just gives you a thorough cleaning. It helps with, you got a guy that calls you on the phone, can't find an address, and I can look and see exactly where he's at that second and tell him, you know, make a left and then make a right, and it usually makes it there. It helps, too, if somebody doesn't think you swept the back alley of a Costco or something like that. You can print it off, and it has a track back on there. And you can let them know. You go, yeah, we swept the back alley. You just leave your dumpsters open, and it blows trash all over when we're done. You know, that type of thing. It's It's helpful. I think a lot of things that technology can help with.
What company do you use for your GPS?
Right now we have Axoft. It's just a little module that plugs in underneath the dash. It updates itself on a website every minute and a half, 2 minutes, and it's pretty accurate. We've been happy with it. It just goes through, it's just like a regular cell phone. It goes through sprints like a carrier. It works. If you go outside of cell phone range or tower range, it'll take and re-upload where he's been when he comes back into service.
One of the things I saw on your website is that you had your Federal Motors Commercial Vehicle Compliance Audit and received the highest possible rating, which it goes on to say proving that your fleet is safe and dependable. What is that? That's an audit that I was unfamiliar with. Is that something that's required that I just haven't heard about before or that you ask for, or what is that?
It's a DOT audit. They came down and they check paperwork, they check your trucks out. If you go through without anything with red tags or anything that's not put down, it's a good review. It was put on by the state.
Is it something that happens periodically, annually, or once in a lifetime, or they decide to do it? How does it work?
Well, you can do it two ways. You can request them to come down, or you can come down and just like any governing entity, they can ask to come down and check it out. It went well.
It's nice to know that an agency that does that all the time can look at your equipment and come to the correct conclusion. From your nice-looking website, all the equipment really does look nice, and it's well portrayed and presented. I see that you have a system where you have both your credit app online and can pay an invoice online. Are those things that are utilized, have you found?
They do. 90% of the time, we mail out a bill and they pay it. Sometimes they do call in or use the website for credit cards. Instead of having a credit card machine in your office, they can go online and pay it. All their info, they have control over instead of us.
It's nice not to have that in the office, exactly. One of the things that websites were portrayed as doing when they first got started was to be able to sell for you 24 hours a day, and that people then, once they went through your website, they'd have better questions about your company and be moved toward wanting to use your company because of what they saw on the website. But one of the big values of that I think is not, that's overlooked some of the time, is that they're doing that without your help. You're not having to be there with them on the phone answering those standard 10 or 15 questions that somebody might have. They're all on your website. And the same thing here, you know, if you have your credit app, your invoice paying app, and you also have another link that is we're accepting applications for employment, and you have that all take place without you having to get involved with it, that goes right to the bottom line because you don't have somebody sitting there doing that, as well as security, because you also don't have somebody on your team taking the credit card number and putting it in and potentially getting involved if that card does get scammed or abused in some way, to making sure that it didn't come from you. So that really makes a difference. You're active on your Facebook site, and how's your experience been there? Do you detail somebody in your office to handle your social media for you?
Not really. Either myself or Rebecca will take and post something. The drivers go out, and they're doing a bunch of jobs every day, and sometimes they just think that they're doing something cool, and they take a picture and send it off to us, and we throw it on there. It's really not that time-consuming, but it can go out, and a lot of people can see what's going on and capabilities. And
I think that one of the big things it does there, too, is that it also gives you a face of the company, because with some of those cool events, like the Run or Die Tacoma, for example, or the Rampage, those are both on your Facebook site. It puts a face to the people, and they look like they're having fun, and that they look fine in the photos, and people, I believe, get a comfort level that they feel, well, yeah, this company looks like, that guy's kind of like my brother, or, you know, they have some reason to connect up with the company, and that always helps, in my opinion.
Yeah, we don't always post the not-fun jobs either, though.
That's right. That's one of the things you can decide what to post and what not to. That can also be important. We've talked about a lot of things about the company. Let's talk about how you got through, for example, the recession. You were a rolling company with a second-generation ownership when 2008 hit and suddenly there's a recession. How were you able to weather through that storm?
We scaled back a lot. We had to move people that were in overhead positions and, you know, move them into positions where they could make revenue, get rid of a lot of things, whether it was having the extra water cooler in the office to something as big as medical. It was a tough time. Well, a lot of our sales were based on construction work, so when the construction stopped, we had to take and get into municipality work and then actually kind of go back to our roots into parking lot cleaning. Actively went out and got contracts for that, and that was a huge help.
Are you finding with the change now to where we have more of an expanding economy that it's more difficult getting quality workers?
Yeah, when you're in a recession, you can get somebody with a four-year degree that wants to drive your street sweeper, and then everybody starts hiring again. Yeah, you are right. It's tough getting good employees.
And how do you get them? Is that a Craigslist, or do you have your current employees on the lookout for friends that need work that they think would work well? Or
yeah.
Are there any kind of systems that have worked well for you?
Word of mouth. People worked with other people. Our employees have worked with other people on other jobs, and they say, hey, this guy's a good guy. I think you'd work. That's been a lot of our hiring. We have done stuff like Craigslist and going through actually employment services companies. Word of mouth is probably the number one.
That certainly is the best way to get customers, and I think there's a lot to be said for a best way to get employees, too. I wanted to also compliment you on your phone system. That's something that I just don't understand why every retail-oriented business, such as a sweeping company and much more that you do, but that they don't have a phone recording that talks about their business and all the different things that they do and so forth. I really wanted to compliment you on that because you seem to have covered a lot of the bases that, to me, are the low-hanging fruit. You know, you have a social media account, you have a nice-looking website, you have a phone system that informs those on hold, and you hope they're not on hold all that long, but still, you give them a chance to listen to something about your company. To me, that's a real plus.
It can be annoying being on hold, and it's always nice to probably have something that kind of eases your mind and also, you know, gives you information.
Plus, you know that somebody will show up pretty soon because you still are connected. Sometimes when you're on hold, and you don't really even know if you're still connected or not.
Until you hear the dial tone 5 minutes after nobody was there yet.
Right. That's it, exactly. One of the last questions I'd ask you is, I've talked to many husband and wife teams about what it's like to be that close and run a business, and you're in a little different situation with brother and sister. How has that worked for you? I mean, I would think it would be a little bit easier because you're not going home together every night, so you get a break. Is that something that you found to be a real plus? And I would think in terms of, for one, you have a male and a female dynamic. That would seem to be a plus because I think the different sexes typically approach problems from potentially a little different aspect from each other. So how has that worked? Are you essentially equal partners in your decision-making? How have you split up your duties and tasks there to make it work for you?
I find it to be a plus. I think, you know, there's balance and having, you know, maybe a male and a female. If there's something in her wheelhouse that she takes and typically deals with, you know, obviously her opinion's going to be valued a lot more than mine, but if there's something in my area that I take and deal with, I would probably have more weight on that. That's for, like, sibling rivalry or anything like that. We've been doing this for long enough, and we've gone through a lot of things as second-generation companies do. We're fortunate that we got through all that. We're able to mature, deal with them level-headed, you know.
When did you first start working in the company?
Probably 18.
And her, too. So you really moved into the business as you became a young adult.
Yeah, Rebecca, she's a couple years older than me. About the same time, but she was a couple years older than me.
Mm-hmm. And what are your two areas of general managerial oversight? What is your wheelhouse and what is hers?
Mine's operations. Hers is office. She's kind of front, I'm kind of back. I deal with probably the drivers more and contractors, and she's going to deal with L&I and insurance and payroll type stuff, you know.
So helpful to have a principal in both of those areas of expertise. That makes the company run a lot smoother, I'm sure. Is there any questions that I haven't thought to ask or things that you'd like to say about your company that we haven't covered?
Not that I can think of.
Well, let's leave it there. Then we've covered a lot of ground. It's been a good interview, and it's good to learn more about your organization. For those who don't know where Puyallup, Washington is, it's a suburb of Greater Seattle, Greater Tacoma, in that area. There is a lot of population density, certainly in the area, but it's not like being in a New York, New Jersey kind of area either. We've been speaking with Richard Hamilton, and along with his sister, Rebecca Craig, they own and operate Best Parking Lot Cleaning Incorporated. They're located in the Puyallup, Washington area, which is Western Washington. They are the World Sweeping Association featured contractor for February 2015. And thanks again, Richard.
All right, thank you.